Today on Vulnerable, I get the chance to speak with Ireland Baldwin. She's a former model, a screenwriter, DJ, and an entrepreneur. She currently lives in Oregon, and we got to catch up after meeting on TikTok. I'm Christy Carlson Romano, and this is the Vulnerable Podcast. What's up, Ireland?
Not much. How are you?
I'm so good. Wow, this is so cool. I've been on a roll with the guests that I have made acquaintances ships. What does that even word mean? Like via TikTok.
I love that.
I know, but I'm like really so happy that community can be real in that way where it's like I like you and like we're vibing and oh wow, you're gonna actually do my podcast. So thank you for coming on. And that makes me really happy.
Thank you. This is so fun. I'm excited. I never really do podcasts. So, you know, I'm a nervous talker. So this is exciting.
That's exciting. We need the nervous talking because podcast is all about talking. So, and also I'll interrupt you, which lots of people tell me I do. And it's because I just hate awkward silences. And I'm also a nervous talker.
Me too. Yeah. No, I hear you. So we're match made.
Are you by chance eating watermelon?
I was eating watermelon yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. I loved that TikTok.
I saw Dua Lipa eating a watermelon and putting tajin on it. So it's like the Regina George, like, so I cut you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So I cut up a watermelon and put tajin on it. But
Great doing it, I would say, too.
Thank you. It was my friend's swimsuit company. And I was like, I just don't want to take pictures in this. I would rather just film a video of me eating because that's all I'm usually doing anyway. So, yeah.
Good. Yes. We love eating. We freaking love eating. Oh, my God.
We love eating.
Yeah, after all my life, I've realized how much I truly do love eating and we'll get into that. So
good.
Here on Vulnerable, I really enjoy chatting with folks that, like, you know, we know from the world, the zeitgeist, maybe social media, whatever, you know, and like really just kind of getting to know them in a safe space. And it's not like gotcha anything, you know. You've been through enough of that shit. I want to beat everybody up for it. And yeah, so that's kind of the vibe. That's kind of the tone. We kind of start from the beginning of your journey or wherever you choose to kind of start. Also, I want to mention something. I read somewhere that somebody thought I was cringy. What the hell does it even mean, Ireland? Please help me. I mean, I understand the concept of cringe, but what fully is a three-dimensional, like, terming of cringe? You're younger than me. You've got to tell me.
How old are you? Can I ask?
30, yeah, of course. It's documented. I'm 38.
38? That's not even old. Wow. Okay. Well, cringing, I like to categorize or define cringing as an all over the body kind of just icky sensation that you feel when someone does something or when something happens in a certain way. Don't think you're cringy. I think haters may think you're cringy, but you're not cringy. I know cringy when I see cringy, okay?
Yeah, see, Ireland would not be chilling with me on my podcast for 45 minutes if she thought I was cringe.
I'm super fucking cringy. Am I allowed to curse on here?
Yes, absolutely. It says explicit in the bio, so people know, man.
Oh, okay. I can get crazy. Okay.
You can get crazy cringy.
Great. Yeah, I love a little cringe. I think a little cringe is good for the soul. I think it wakes people up in the morning. Okay. I have a little cousin that made me sit through a cringe compilation video on YouTube.
Oh my God, those things are real. Wow.
Oh yeah. They're like basically like hour-long edited videos of like TikTok actors acting.
Okay.
It's a lot. Okay. It's a lot. I'm also too old for that world. I learned a new word not that long ago. Chuggy.
Yeah, chuggy. I've heard of this because it directly affects me.
Chuggy is a live, laugh, love sign in a bathroom.
It's Uggs.
Chuggy is a Uggs.
Uggs worn over tight fit jeggings. That's chuggy.
I still do that. So I guess
plea plum tops are chuggy.
What's a plea plum top?
It's like one of those tops that we wore in like the 2000s that had like almost like a dress.
Oh, and it stays tight and then it folds over.
It's like tight and then it kind of goes out like.
Plet plum? A plet plum?
plum.
I don't know that I partook in that, but
exactly.
Yeah, chuggy yes. And cringy kind of are friends, you know, they're neighbors and it's not an insult. It's okay. It's kind of cool.
So here's the thing. The concept of cringe, though, there's a spectrum of it when we think about it, right? Because like it's such an insult to people just, I will say, just existing in maybe like a social media space. And when you think of like, you know, the climate as a whole, especially with TikTok, there's a spectrum of community there, right? So there's like, you eventually, your For You page probably starts really attuning to, you know, what you're commenting on and who you really want to see and their messaging and all that stuff. And I've really noticed it almost navigating away from anything outside of that recently. And it's kind of been annoying me, but I digress, Ireland. Cringe as a whole, though, it's just people existing in a community is my point. It's their best efforts to find their voice and it may not be successful, but they're trying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you should just unapologetically do what makes you happy.
Right.
I come across, I definitely don't get this kind of content on TikTok, but when I do come across TikTok acting, I do get an all over the body sort of chill, a reaction where I feel nauseous. So if that's cringe, keep doing it though. It's not for me. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for anybody. You should do it for you. You should always post and do what you do to make you happy. And that's all that matters. But just know you are cringy. And that's okay.
To Ireland, you're cringy. And then to somebody, I guess.
Someone loves you.
It's an absolute inspiration and an art piece.
Someone loves
jumping
you.
Jumping off point. Yeah. Got you. I thank you for unpacking that with me because, you know, as we have connected over the internet, it's kind of cool to hear another person's perspective on these kind of loaded statements that get thrown our way. Sometimes in our comment sections and, you know, sometimes
I get
a
lot worse.
Let's talk about it.
I get a lot worse. I get a lot worse than cringy. So I wish people were calling me cringy, but, you know.
Dude, that sucks. Wow. So, okay. So then now that we've kind of randomly started off and we're off to the races of randomness, Ireland, you are many things and you have been a model and you're an advocate and you're an artist and actress and it's just so many things. And obviously, you know, you do have family that is in the entertainment industry. And I would love to just chat about, you know, what was your first experience with celebrity? Like, when did you like almost like wake up and realize, oh, wow, like my parents are not like other parents?
I think the first time I ever really sort of realized any of that was I was kind of very oblivious to it most of my childhood. You know, it was just of always there.
Mm-hmm.
It really wasn't probably until really maybe later elementary school or middle school for me when I just saw how other people, whether they were my peers or older peers or teachers or just people around me, how they reacted to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I was like, oh, wow, okay, like they're sort of a bigger deal than I'm making this out in my head. Because you just kind of live through it when you're a kid. You don't really, you grow up on movie sets, you grow up around famous people. You just are very desensitized to it. It's not really something I ever kind of sat there and was like, oh, you know, it was just another day. But then seeing how other people reacted to who they were and how they gawked over them or asked me questions or, you know, that's when I sort of was like, okay, this is okay.
Because kids are so smart, you know, like with social cues. Like I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and it's kind of like they've taken to calling me, oh, mommy's Kim Possible or something. Like, and it'll come up in like random ways, and it's like, oh, okay, so they get that. And I didn't even put
which
that
is
in
crazy,
front of
by the way.
It's crazy. My flex, Ireland. It's my flex. It's my main mom. Like my avatar on Disney Plus is Kim Possible.
Was she in high school? I don't remember. Was she in high school?
She was. She was totally
okay, well,
in high
it's
school.
It's okay because I was of age. She was definitely a sexual awakening for me. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, there you go. Oh, good. Yeah, well, she go. I can see that.
Hair.
Oh, yeah. Well, so she and then like she go, they have this thing in the LGBTQ plus community called, what is it called? Kigo, where it's like Kim and Shigo, and like sort of imagining them queered as a sort of
like
story.
Like a fan fiction.
Yes, a fan fiction. There's so many fan fictions of every animated character out there.
I will go look that up after.
Oh yeah, there you go. You can. I guess you can.
I can't. They're high schoolers now.
Right. You're like, I can't. But
they
not
exist
technically.
In time.
Yes, exactly. That's true, I guess. That is kind of weird when you think about it. Well, you'll just wait for the continuation if we ever get rebooted.
Perfect.
Then.
I hope so.
I mean, like Kim was amazing in terms of her legacy, which is what like I'm really excited to bring to their awareness. But when we're talking about like your parents sort of being living people and like the legacies that they bring with them and then the nuances of them being independently famous and then, you know, what transpires
right.
from that. I mean, that's got to be sort of interesting. Like, what's the evolution of that feel like?
I mean, it just kind of came in my life. I think there were sort of different waves of it, you know, because one parent would be working a lot more than the other, and then the other would be on a series. My dad was on a series for like 7 years or something, and that was most of my childhood that was going on. Again, it would kind of ebb and flow, like the reality of things would ebb and flow for me. But really, mm-hmm. I think their divorce was probably the most prominent, like in the media, in your face, like I'm involved kind of thing that made mm-hmm. that sort of pushed that all forward a little bit faster, you know?
Sure. Absolutely.
So even more so than them being actors, they were two famous people getting a divorce to me before they were actors, you know?
Yeah, so. And divorce too was still so sensationalized, I feel like, back then. Like, our society really went after two famous people that they, you know, I mean, apologies to say this because these are your parents, but they were sex symbols. And so they were these two, like, they were the Brad and Angelina in some regards in the 90s.
Yeah.
And so when they separated, they made waves. And so,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's all good.
That's good. No, that's amazing.
No, I mean, it was a lot. I mean, people made something that I think pretty much 9 out of 10 of my friends' parents are divorced at this point. Sad, but true.
Yeah.
And I think divorce is pretty normalized at this point. Not that that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't believe you should stay in anything that is unstable and unhealthy and affecting you mentally, physically, emotionally. But I don't think divorce is that big of a deal. I think people change. And mm-hmm. More than anything, it's a legal pain in the fucking ass more than it is really anything else. I'm sure it's hard in a lot of ways. But, you know, I think just because of how sensationalized it was and how much of a bigger deal it was made than it really had to be, that definitely made it a lot more painful, I think, for everyone involved, because there was just the media just takes a giant shit on everything all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they just have to make things as worse, like 200 times worse than it actually really is. The people in the inside, what they're going through, it's mm-hmm. just not that bad. But mm-hmm. to everyone else, it's bad, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely, it's nuclear, and it's very binary in terms of it being like either good or absolutely amazing or absolutely awful. And that's how they, that's how they set, that's SEO. Now we realize that as, you know, content creators who are trying to get views. Like when I had a YouTube channel and I had to do my thumbnails in a very particular way, even though my videos themselves were geared towards trying to like connect with people, I got caught in, you know, having to title them a certain way. And so it's like,
right,
either you have to get in front of it in some ways, like nowadays with branding, or, you know, I'm also just interested in talking with you about that and how you've navigated that. But overall, what I'm getting from you in terms of the beginning of that evolution of who you are was there was a lot of people reacting to just you and your family like existing.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so you had to kind of like see all that, like, and it was expediting. That's just interesting to me. I've never thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, especially just kind of comparing your family, your reality, your, like, you know, how complicated. And trust me, I had an incredible childhood, and I'm so lucky and so privileged in so many ways, and I'm definitely not acknowledging that, but I definitely had that divorce, that experience, a lot of experiences were very traumatizing for me. And I think, you know, I didn't let that change or define anything later on in life, but okay, it was definitely like something that it was very, very, very difficult thing to just exist and know that everyone knows what's happening to you and they could just read about it or look it up, you know?
Look what's happening with, sorry, I did not mean to interrupt you. I'm going to get roasted for that.
No, please interrupt me.
Don't Addison be cringy, Rae, okay? I'm so choogy, man. I love this. Thank you. You're so sweet. So like, look at Addison Rae right now. I don't know. Do you know about this? Maybe don't. This is like the deep levels, the deep circles of TikTok and whatnot. Like Addison Rae, very big.
I don't know.
Okay, so Addison Rae is like, yeah. She dances. She has lip oil. I guess, like, I didn't even really understand that recently. I was like, really? Are we doing that? No, we're not doing that. And her mom, her poor mom and her dad are from this very small town in Louisiana. I think it's like Lafayette or something. And then they move to the big city, you know, in California.
Oh, no.
The whole family, though, because she's hit right. big oh. on TikTok.
Okay. Yeah, and mom. Then, yeah.
And
okay.
then
I don't live under a rock. It's
good. No, yeah. You don't. It's okay. Like there's, like you said, there's waves of all of this. Good. Can I join you there, please?
I live under the rock, but I did. The only reason why biscuits and gravy.
Oh,
young
yes,
gravy.
Young gravy.
He's like dating the mom, right?
I guess something, they connected.
Or they like flirt. I don't know.
Yeah, like
I
they flirt. That. Who really knows? Yeah.
And, so basically, oh my god, it's all clicking. I actually saw the Young Gravy like said something because I think he's funny and cute, and I followed him, and then I saw he posted something about the dad, and the dad's making all these videos like he wants to fight, right?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about? No,
this is is absolutely what I'm talking about. And what I mean to say is that, you know, Addison has a little brother or something, you know, and like, he's not, I don't even think he's really on TikTok. And, you know, the mom is truly hurt by this. You can tell that she's hurt, but of course, what is she going to do? She's Kris Jennering it, you know? And so it's really hard to watch a family, especially from a child actor's perspective, because I've had, and that's why I was talking to you about how interesting it is to talk to you as the person who is just existing and not necessarily being commodified, you know, and in a way that's almost more traumatizing because you're not in on the joke. You know what I mean? Like a child actor's
first
like,
first of all,
yeah.
If my parents had TikTok, I would move so far away. No one would ever hear from me again. I would get a fake identity. I just would be like, if my parents, I'm sorry, as a parent, yeah, at any age range, have TikTok, do TikTok. I love it. I follow all different types of people who have so much to offer at every age. Okay. That's not my point. My point is, if you are going to hash out your shit on TikTok, first of all, any of these people that like deal with their relationship shit, on TikTok.
Yeah.
If you're a mother and you're a father and you're posting videos and you're doing nothing on Addison Rae's mom at all, mm-hmm. but the dad, I watched those videos and I'm like, if my dad had a TikTok and I was Addison Rae's age, I don't know what the fuck I would do. I honestly, yeah. like, nothing is more embarrassing than that shit to me, ever. Like, yeah, like that's forever. Yeah. Forever. It's there yeah. forever. And she's yeah. so cute and sweet. And I have yeah. never met her. I don't know really anything about her at all. But, you know,
she's just trying to have a career.
I think about that all the time. Yeah. I think about if social media, if Twitter is hell. And if Twitter existed when my parents were getting divorced, when I was in high school, mm-hmm. when I was a kid, like if it, mm-hmm. like if I had it, oh my God, it would yeah. make it 300 times worse to go through, you know?
But how do you figure that social media, if when your parents were getting, you know, separated and whatnot, like how would that have hurt, do you think? Just because the scrutiny just never dies or what?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, it was like standing in a checkout aisle at a grocery store and seeing like an Us Weekly with my face and my parents' face on it. And I could kind of like look at it and turn away. Or like I didn't have access to social media like kids do now. I couldn't look up my mom or my, like I was, you know, I don't even know how old I was, 10 when my parents got divorced. I was like dancing and with my dogs and playing in the dirt. Like I wasn't mm-hmm. like on mm-hmm. Instagram, you know, and mm-hmm. I never had to deal with like a roaring like comment section or right. like if I Peanut had gallery. TikTok and scrolled through TikTok and the amount of like specialists on TikTok that are, you know, like, what are they, like celebrity relationship or celebrity pop culture people on TikTok? I'm just like, none of you have one fucking clue what you're talking about half the time. And I'm so glad you're like, you know, getting a following of people who are like, oh, this is so informative and exciting and oh my God and whatever. It's like, you're talking out of your ass. Like people couldn't be more removed from what they're talking about. And, yes. you know, they've made a career out of it at this point. And I'm like,
right.
if I lived in a time where I went on my phone when I was 13 and just saw, you know, people ripping my mom apart, ripping my dad apart, or ripping mm-hmm. me apart and telling me, you know, like they already did, but I just didn't have to really be as exposed to it as I think I would have if, you know, I had a phone and TikTok and Twitter and,
yeah.
you know, right. it's just, it right. makes it so much worse.
Yeah,
you can't really run does. From it either. You
Interesting.
Know?
So, do you think you ran from it though? Like in when it was happening with you in real time? Then, do you feel like that was the impulse in general, was to kind of run from it? And if so, like how did you cope with that?
Well, I definitely had a very abnormal childhood in a sense that I was going to court and testifying against my parents. And, you know, I've been manipulated by lawyers and by people to testify against that parent and to do this mm-hmm. and to do that. And I was very involved in that divorce process because it wasn't even, they weren't in court because of their divorce wasn't the issue. It was a custody battle that lasted so damn long. And, you know, it was, as a kid, I would always say it was like two dogs like fighting over a bone all the time. That's what I would always say when I was little. Like I just felt yeah. like a toy or a bone that was just being kind of ripped apart because it's just way too much, I think, for any kid to ever go through. And, yeah. you know, with or without social media having been a thing, mm-hmm. you know, as you get older, and as I started modeling, as I started working and being more out there mm-hmm. and reading comments, people love to bring up the past and people love to throw, you know, shit in your face all the time and mm-hmm. make any kind of any positive moves, anything you're doing, any good you're doing. It's just always going to be followed by, you know, the darkness of your past.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yep.
That's that's everybody though, you know?
So that sucks. I want to beat everybody up for you. I really do. I truly do. Like, I'm like, I feel very mama bear protective over you now. I can't help it. Aww. It's just an instinct. Just because, you know, you didn't ask for this. This wasn't, I know of somebody who, I will say their name offline to you, but their father was very famous and she lives, you know, in the hills and she has a really interesting take on what it means to be, you know, a child of a very famous person, you know, and from an industry family. And I never had known anybody's being a child actor and a teen actor, whatever. Like a lot of the people that I had ever associated with were other people who had a very similar trauma to me. And right. When I started, you know, meeting this girl and hearing her stories of how she had that imposter syndrome in her own career. And she would tell me like, look, like you've already proven yourself and I haven't. And it's like, right. She had to live with this, like, this falseness in her life, and it colored, I feel like, every relationship around her. And I found, like, I would sit back and I would watch her for the, I would say, 6 months that we were close. I would sit back and I'd see that she would surround herself with people who cared about her, but she'd almost self-destruct those relationships so that they would, like, do things for her. So they were all like, they ended up being like yes men.
Right.
I really felt for her because I felt like it was my first understanding of what the struggles must be to feel like you can actually connect organically and find your own voice amidst the chaos of, say, like LA and like that whole industry and world
all of around it. Yeah. Right.
Do you have a lot of other friends, like in growing up in LA, did you have a lot of other friends whose parents were in like high profile?
I mean, I went to school with a lot of kids whose parents were in the business. I never really was close friends with any of them.
Makes sense. That's you're so well adjusted.
There's, you know, one that comes to mind, a girl I was really good friends with was Anthony Anderson's daughter, Kyra Anderson, who's like the most down-to-earth, sweet human being in the world. But like other than her, I went to school with all of them. You know, I maybe was friendly with different people at different points, but
yeah,
no, I never ran in those circles. And there's actually like a lot of people who now kind of are in the same friend group and, you know, are kind of kids of famous people friend group that I am definitely not, not for any reason other than it just never happened organically, but I'm just not really friends with most of them. So very, a lot of really great kids. Some of them are great people.
That's good.
Some are, some
that's
are
good
not
to hear,
but that's,
yeah,
just people.
I mean, they are just people. So, exactly. You're right. Yeah. And I guess I was kind of curious because, you know, I also have kids that will grow up and will have to contend, not on the scale, you know, like with your folks or anything or other people's, but I don't want my kids to suffer because, you know, I had a career before them or anything, you know, like I want their voices to be uniquely their own and I want their lives to be, you know, to me, like structure is so important for their young little minds.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why I'm mama bear for you. Cause I'm like, damn it. I want to
structure is. Yeah, no, I mean, it's so important because it's something you definitely, when you grow up without it, you crave it so much. And once you find it, it's really freeing and great once you build your own structure, you know?
Yes, it is. So then, like, let's get into that. Well, you're in Oregon now, right? So did you move there recently? I know you're starting up a venture there and we'll talk about that. But what led you to Oregon?
Kind of a funny story, but I
want to hear it.
I moved here 2 years ago now, over 2 years ago during COVID for a boy friend at the time, and that went south, and then we broke up, and I kind of was faced with the decision to stay and start something here. I was actually not even living in the city. I wasn't living in Portland. I was living out on the Oregon coast. And, you know, I was very depressed for a while and kind of lonely and going through it. And yeah. I, you know, kind of was leaning towards moving back to LA and being around family and my mom and friends and sure. familiarity. But yeah. then something just like clicked inside of me and I was like, I hate LA. I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Like, I will always go back and forth. My mom's always yeah. there, but like, I'm starting to love it here. And good. Something kind of just opened up. And then I was looking around at places in Portland. And then I met my now boyfriend at a coffee shop. And we totally just clicked. And then yeah. I just was like, I think I'll give it a shot.
I think I'll stay.
Yeah. So that's
funny how that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Life's yeah, weird. Yeah.
Life's totally weird. Relationships. So yeah, like oh, when God. I look back, I always tell people because I'm happily married and it takes a lot of work, but you know, we've learned to communicate with each other and we've had trials and tribulations. But it's like we've got the kids and like we don't ever try to ever fight without understanding that that's not wasted time. So that by the end of it, we're not fighting to like maim the other person. We're fighting it to figure out, we're trying to communicate in a way that by the end of the conversation, we've gotten something from it. Cause
right.
otherwise it's such a waste of time. We don't have time.
Right. Really?
You know what I mean? Like the kid, they, honestly,
well,
like
when
you
so put it. So short.
So short. Absolutely.
So but short.
Like, I'll it's tell like people too, they're like, what's your like key to whatever? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, man. I played a numbers game.
Yeah, totally.
I did, man. I played a numbers game. I was engaged 3 times.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. 3 times. 3 times.
I mean, so that's great.
No, that's not that bad.
Experience, life, stuff. It's all good.
Yes, 100%. And you know, a lot of people don't know it about me in terms of like, you know, having, you know, a lot of relationships, a lot of experiences, and a lot of that I kept to myself and obviously.
Yeah.
But anytime I got serious with somebody, I would post it and I would be very vocal about it. And I don't think I would take that back, honestly, because.
No, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a part of me at the time. And whatever happened from those relationships, as nuts as my breakups were, like.
Yeah.
You know, I played a numbers game and yeah, I won out, okay? I ended up winning out. But it takes work, man. Thank you.
So does, yeah. I mean, yeah, I have never been engaged, but I have definitely had my fair share of relationships go all different kinds of ways.
Go awry.
you gotta just, it's all taking you somewhere, you know? It's all for for the right reasons, and you just have to be patient, you know, definitely.
So you still very much like believe in love?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I always have been, I'm like the biggest hopeless romantic in the world. So most people, like psychologically, kids who go through a divorce, like see their parents getting divorced, just kind of most of the time lose all hope and they're like, oh my God, you know, they kind of have a complex, like a fuck love complex. Mm-hmm. I had a pretty brutal example of love. Like, this was not an easy divorce. My parents really weren't very fond of each other and it was very apparent and not hidden from me at all. So I, you know, I had every recipe in the book to kind of, or every ingredient in the recipe to hate love and be that person. But I actually kind of always looked at it and thought, like, I just want anything but that. Like, their jobs, fame, being well known, all of that, as well as, like, I'm going to be in love someday and I want kids and I want this. I've always felt that way. And maybe like at different points in different relationships, maybe that's changed where I'm kind of like, well, I could do what the other person wants or I could just give that up or whatever. And again, like it's such a process to get to where I am now, which you're married and happily married and have kids. And, you know, a lot of people ask me weirdly all the time. My last relationship was very public and I mean, very public in some ways, and a lot of people knew I dated this person on and off for a while. And you know, when people ask me like, how do you get through your breakup, or how do you have what you have now? It's seriously just timing. There is no timing. It just happens. And you're like, wait, what? You know, anytime I've ever wanted something or chased it, it just never worked out for me in that way. So it's always like when I least expect it, when I turn my back, boom, it's there, you know? So I've always been this huge hopeless romantic, and I love love and I believe in it. And I think everyone should. And I think it's really not about forcing anything or changing yourself and who you are and who you want to be and what you want for anybody ever. Yeah. Compromise is very important, but I think there's definitely like a pretty fine line. It's not, there's no gray area in that, you know, once you feel like you're changing for somebody in a really negative way, it's like, just, you got to get out of that. That's not working.
That's good. So you've learned that over time then, because I know that you checked in somewhere at some point after a breakup, right? And you were like trying to find some happiness from the chaos. Oh my God. I wish I would have done that with several of my engagements.
Yeah.
I really should have. I wouldn't have given it my money to psychics if that would have happened.
Oh God, no. I was beyond a psychic. That's really funny. I just I got an email just like right before this podcast of a psychic that wanted to psychic me. But I said no, don't do it.
Maybe read a tarot card or two. But I'm not. It's hard. I don't wanna do it's that. Hard. That you really want me. The answers, man. And I will never live this down. And I talked about it on my YouTube, and like, you know, people say what they say. They, you know, when you share a story about yourself, you have to be, you know, hopefully you help people though, which is so basically when it comes to what happened, I know that you've been more vocal about certain things that in your life have happened along the way, but I am kind of interested. So you had a breakup, and then this was in Oregon that you, or was this back in California that you checked in to, was it SOBA or somewhere?
When I went to rehab? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was 19.
Okay.
So I was in a relationship. I'm 20, almost 27 now. Mm-hmm. But I was 19. And yeah, I had a very thrilling, very just manic, unhealthy, nutso relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, that person and I are like totally, from what I know, we're totally cool. Like, people grow. Good. You go through, you kind of have to like, this is just my approach. No one has to take anything from this or live their lives this way. This is just how I choose to be happy. I kind of like laugh just at everything. Like everything, like trauma, pain, death, sadness, addiction, everything is just funny at this point to me. I have to laugh. I have to joke about it.
Interesting.
Like you just said, life is so short that I think dwelling and letting things consume us and take over our minds and take space the way that they do, I think it's just such a waste of time. And you can't tell anybody this. They kind of have to go through this journey on their own. But what I've learned with everything I've been through, whether it be sexual assault, whether it be brutal relationships, abusive relationships, whatever it is, like at this point, I can fully like laugh about it. Like I have to get to this point to heal. Mm-hmm. And that relationship for me definitely was, it was a crazy ride. And if I had to look back and if I was given the choice to, undo it or live through it again or whatever.
Yeah.
I would have done it because I learned a lot about myself and I would have never been on this path, of course. But yeah, I went to rehab because I was so, and for me, I'm a very anxious person. I have anxiety disorder, but I don't deal with depression at all. And I don't use mm-hmm. that word lightly. Okay. I really am not a depressed person at all. Yeah. I get sad, you know, things make me sad, but I think depression is such a specific state and people love to say they're depressed when they don't even really know what that means. Mm-hmm. But I am like full blown OCD. I'm, you know, I definitely have anxiety, crazy anxiety disorders, but I am not depressed at all. So for me to say I was really actually battling and dealing with depression, I really probably only have twice in my life. And both mm-hmm. of them were because of these breakups and yep. situations that happen and the yeah. way they unfolded. And I'm like an open book. So this is nothing I'm like ashamed of anymore. Again, it's all no. funny to me at this point because I kind of look back and I'm like, you know, watching people do the teenage dirtbag trend on yeah. TikTok. And I'm like, you want to fucking yeah. see my teenage yeah. dirtbag photos?
We do. No. We really do.
You don't.
Oh, no. Trust me. Don't. There was ones that it's I could have posted.
Oh, my God. It's me with like an IV, like in a hospital after like. Oh. Yeah. No. Oh, so, man. I mean, I had a bad night. Really what it, yeah. I have a lot of addiction in my family. I do not believe addiction runs in your blood at all. I don't. Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't think it's genetic. I have a lot of friends who have.
Do you think it's behavioral?
I think it's circumstantial. I think it just depends on the person. Mm-hmm. I think like, you know, I am not, if I was told tomorrow I had to stop drinking, that wouldn't be a problem. I love to drink. Like, I love it. I'm never going to stop. But if you told me I had to, easy for me, you know, same with drugs. I'm not really a drug user at this point at all in my life, but I smoke weed, love it. Don't want to stop, but if you told me I had to, I could do it. I think like I kind of was just at the lowest low humanly possible. And there was a day where I took like a really, really absurd amount of Xanax. And mm-hmm. in this relationship I was in, it was pretty normal for me to drink because I just wanted to drink my mm-hmm. depression away, drink my anxiety away. It became yep. a crutch. Mm-hmm. And this one day I took like heaps of Xanax and drank like half a bottle of Jack Daniels at my cousin's house and like dangled off a balcony because this abusive person that I was with at the time, you know, kind of just made an appearance and there was like a very bad fight and it was this whole thing and I was blacked out and I don't remember doing this, but I was told that I leaned off a balcony and was like, I'm going to kill myself because you're doing yeah. this to me and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It was a whole episode, you know, of mm-hmm. like the OC. I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
I love it.
It was way worse. But
yeah.
Yep. No, it was just like a whole drama. And, yeah. you know, then I went to the hospital. My parents gave me a lot of people in my life kind of said, you've been through a lot. You need to go and figure this out. And at first, it was kind of pushed on me like, this is addiction. This is addiction. You're an addict. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people on my father's side of the family deal with addiction. So they're kind of all alcohol anonymous out telling me this is addiction. This is addiction. Yeah. I've had nights where, you know, I've tried a lot of drugs. I've tried a lot of things. I've never done really anything consistently. Gotcha. But I do think you kind of get sorry, but you get brainwashed by the AA community in a lot of ways. If AA works for you and that's mm-hmm. what's getting you through and you identify, amazing. And keep doing that and let that keep you sober.
Yeah.
But for me, just having people tell me that like things I did as a teenager, they're like, oh my God, that's addiction. That's the first sign. Or, oh my God, you could have died. Or, oh, and these are things like all my friends were doing. And this was how, you know, it was just life.
Yeah. Interesting.
But that one night, I definitely went overboard, wound up in a hospital, and these nurses wanted to, or the doctor came in, I had like mm-hmm. a psych eval, and they were like, we're going to lock her up. If you don't remember what you did, you know, they weren't going to lock me up. I just had to go to rehab or whatever. But if you do remember choosing to try to jump off of a balcony, and I said, I have no fucking clue what you're talking about. I don't remember any of those things happening.
Right. Right. But like funny looking back at like all of the crazy, and I'm talking like I've had like FBI involved. I've had like crazy restraining order stuff. I've had all the crazy drama too. And it's like those. Yeah. Right. And it's like that teenage dirtbag stuff where it's like, we don't need to see those pictures. Those aren't the kind of pictures people are going to post on this cute little trend. But like everyone's had a bad breakup. And then there's been the people like us, I guess, who've had some really crazy shit. That's like, I feel you in a lot of these ways. And I think that I could have definitely gone down the road had I not eventually. And that's the other thing, like meeting my husband too. It's like, I almost wish I would have hit a rock bottom, like without him, you know?
Yeah.
So that it wasn't a guy that saved me from myself.
Totally.
But like you said, everything is leading somewhere. And like everyone's journey is going to help them try to like figure themselves out some way or another. So that's kind of interesting. So do you feel like you had, even though, you know, you had to do the stint at the rehab and sort of get to know yourself better and heal a little bit, do you feel like you have had a lot of love and support around you? Like even if your family has been split up or, you know, in their own relationships and new kids and like all that stuff?
Back then, I really only had to stay in that rehab for 30 days. And I ended up staying for like over 6 months because wow. I was having the time of my life. And I just met like the coolest people in the world. I made cool. like, you know, just friendships and people from everywhere that were, if it were possible, that were like 300 times more fucked up than me. And I'm just like, the misfits and all these really just cool, real people that I got to surround yeah. myself with. Like that was like my first support system through the hardest time in my life. But I have chosen family at this point in my life. That's another thing. I was really bad for a very long time at saying no. And I felt like I owed a lot of people a lot of things for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And that's what led me to being in that relationship. That's what led me to being in a lot of situations in my life. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how to say no to people, family, friends, people, especially in the entertainment industry and in my line of work. Like it was impossible for me to say no. And yeah. that really is what got me in trouble. That's how I hit a rock bottom, then hit another rock bottom. Yeah. It was always because of, like, I didn't know how to just, I couldn't differentiate, like, these people really deserve my time and energy, and these people right. do not, you know?
Right.
And I was
yes.
neglecting really great friends and friendships and good people and work opportunities because I was too busy saying yes to, you know, all of these just dickheads all the time. So, yeah, I mean.
And some you might really be related to, like, right? That's
oh, yeah.
the story of my life. Family. It's like, oh, yeah. God.
Oh, my God. No, yeah. Chosen family.
That's what I'm saying. It's like when you can actually create distance from people that you are related to and exist without them and their sort of, like, negative, toxic influence, like, it's a joyous thing because you can love them
oh, yeah.
better and love them from afar and you can love them as you are.
Totally. That rhymed. That was beautiful.
There you go. I'm a fucking poet. But like I love like my sisters. Like I don't talk to my sisters, but like I love them and I really yeah. do hold them in my heart and I love them and I wish them healing and you know what I'm saying? But like, I just know that I can't really, you know, I can't really talk to them a lot and unless it was absolutely yeah. necessary. So
right.
it's hard. And I honestly, I haven't really even told anybody that. So there's that. I
don't know. Well, now everybody knows.
A little share, a little fucking share.
Yeah. It's
so yeah,
true.
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
I respect that.
Yeah, I mean, if it's related, not, I say this all the time. I don't stand by blood is thicker than water is not a statement that I believe in at mm-hmm. all. So mm-hmm. I believe if people hurt you, if they make you feel small, if they make you feel unheard, if they make you anxious, if they create a lot of tension and trouble in your life, I don't care if they're related to you. I don't care if they saved you from getting hit by a bus. I don't care who they are. They don't have to be in your everyday, you know? They mm-hmm. don't. You can create those boundaries for sure. So I agree.
And so now that you're in Oregon, like how are you feeling?
Oh, so good. I love it here. It's amazing. I mean, it has its issues like everywhere else in the United States sucks. So
girl, I moved to Austin. I moved to Austin the same time you did about 2 years ago. And I love Austin.
I love Austin.
But like all this crazy shit with Texas has gone down, and it's been very hard to have, you know, two daughters here and yeah. sort of just try oh, yeah. to understand my place here and want them to be in a safe community of, you know, like that is an affluent area. Yeah. But like I pay to live here. I work hard to provide for my family. So it's like I'm trying to provide for them, but I also want them to have like I want them to have the best of both worlds. And it becomes very hard.
Oh, yeah.
For them. But I will tell you, better than L.A.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
How do yeah. you like not living in L.A.? Like, what is it about L.A. that we all hate so much? Please verbalize it for people.
You know, I mean, I'm from L.A. I grew up in L.A. my whole life. And yeah. I think L.A. is where people that aren't from L.A. come, and everyone wants to be famous for something. You don't really come there for any other reason other than opportunity. And I think just being around just people who just reek of desperation constantly, people who like can't just like make eye contact and have a conversation or ask how people, they're always looking over your shoulder at like who else can offer them what that's going to walk through the door any minute. And just like opportunists, social climbing star fuckers everywhere that I just at, you know, like I had enough years ago, many years ago, yeah. but I get to travel I did get to travel a lot for my job. So, you know, I got to get out of there quite a bit, but especially being in COVID and being stuck there, I think after a while, I just realized like my time has played out here. I met the people I needed to meet. I'm not really like a very social person. I don't have like a huge friend group. I don't go to things. I don't want to. So, yeah. you know, I'm friends with the same people that I've been friends with since the first and fifth grade and from my whole life. And I have a lot of really great new friends as well. But it just became like a very toxic place for me that I just... Sure. fell out of love with it, you know? Yeah. I love California. I love visiting. I love going for a week and seeing my friends and my mom. Yeah. But there's just something about it that just doesn't feel safe for me. I'm always anxious and always on edge everywhere I go. And for whatever reason, which I don't classify or call myself a celebrity at all ever, but for whatever reason, when I was living there, I'm photographed all the time, everywhere I go, everything I do, there's just like a camera up my butt at a beach, you know, like creepers. All the time. And I'm like, why is this happening? Like, why? Like, I'm not even doing anything. Like why, you know?
Yeah.
And it just living like that, like having to think about how my lips and my hair and like my, you know, my, like, putting a face on every day and getting dressed, like that's right. just not who I am. I'm yeah. like a, I'm such a boy that for me, even boys out there, like, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody is just some very staged. Some boys like
to put their faces on.
You can do whatever the fuck you want, but some people are very staged all the time. Everything is 100%. Very staged. Friendships are staged. Everything is just so phony. And I started feeling it like physically.
You can't thrive.
No, you can't. It was like, oh, God, I got to go. So, yeah, I got the hell out of there. So
I feel you. I really, truly do. And I'm so glad you got to Oregon and also found someone, regardless of him. He's great.
He is great.
But I'm happy that you're there. You know, like I'm happy that you're there in a safe space and that, you know, you feel like you can go back when it's up to you. And you have all that choice, all that agency. That's really important.
Thank you. You too. I love Thanks. Austin. I think it's amazing. Oh, so
I'm gonna stick it out. You know, the longer we stay here, you know, the more entrenched I feel that I am here. And could I go somewhere else? Sure. But you know, the market's crazy to buy here, and I don't know. I don't know what the future holds, but it's not LA, and I can tell you that.
Maybe it'll get better. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? But hey, so you're in Oregon and you're actually prepping. Are you still prepping your cafe event or your...
Oh, God, yeah. I'm opening up a full-blown cafe, natural wine bar on the Oregon coast. and a boutique. So my boyfriend and I, we bought an old bakery and an office building next door, and we're just kind of doing this crazy venture together. And we know absolutely nothing, so we've just been schooling ourselves and working with some pretty incredible people and doing this sort of overall lifestyle brand together. Yeah, so we're going to have an online store in 2 weeks and a boutique and a cafe in the fall. So we're excited. And more locations. So,
wow. Yeah. In Oregon. In Oregon, I'm assuming.
I think we're going to, no, we definitely want to expand into California.
Like, no, no, come to Austin.
No, all over. Like, we want to have spots all over eventually, but we're cool. we're making a slow crawl towards the finish line right now.
So, oh, congrats. Yeah. Okay, so what's it called? And is it got an Instagram that we can all kind of find it?
It does.
And all
that? It's called Good Times.
Okay.
Good Times. And the online store is goodtimes.dog. We got that. Not nice. .com, .dog.
Hell yeah.
A lot of proceeds of what you spend with specific brands we're working with, a portion of the proceeds are going to go towards various animal rescues, dog rescues. So that's kind of a big part of our lives is animal rescue and fostering. We have 6 dogs here at the house, so we're big foster parents. And yeah, so it's a very exciting, very interesting venture, and everybody has to pray for me. So
okay, well, I will. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm always going to engage with you because I love seeing you online, and I'm so glad that we got to connect. And
me,
you know,
too.
Thanks for opening up to me about, you know, some, you know, not happy times, but you're amazing. So thank you for chatting. And
so are you. Thank you for having me.
So Ireland, very excited about the wine bar and everything that's going on with that. But then where else can we find you?
I switched careers a couple of years ago. I'm screenwriting full time. So you can find some of my projects as they slowly trickle into creation in the next year. So yeah, you can find me there.
Ooh, that's exciting. Yeah. Okay. You're busy. You're really busy. And then also you're on TikTok. For fun.
Yeah. I'm on TikTok. I'm so cute and fun on TikTok. And I...
Yes, you are.
I'm so bad at all this shit. But I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I'm nowhere else exclusive to this too. And...
Oh, wait. You're not on Twitter?
No.
Your dad's on Twitter, isn't he?
Oh, God. I hope not. But anyway, I'm not on Twitter. I am on Twitter, but I don't use Twitter. I actually hate Twitter so much that I just dedicated it to a fuck, marry, kill account. So I just do like once every couple months, I'll ask like a fuck, marry, kill question. But other than that.
That's actually genius.
Instagram, TikTok. That's about it. Oh, and my boyfriend and I are starting to Twitch together, but I don't have that information yet. But you can find it.
Fun.
We're kind of gamers now, so I'm kind of a gamer girl.
That's I'm awesome. Not. I didn't know that. Damn.
But he is. Like, he's a big time Twitcher. Twitcher? Yeah. He Twitches. So I'm going to be on there, you know.
Twitchy
guy.
Twitchy,
yeah.
All right. Well, tell him that he better be treating you nice and that we just met, but that I've got your back and I adore you.
Oh,
and
I adore thank you too. For, thank you for so coming. Much. Yeah. Talk soon.
Vulnerable is hosted by me, Christy Carlson Romano, produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham, and executive produced by Brendan Rooney. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. Follow Vulnerable wherever you listen to podcasts so you can join me every week for a vulnerable conversation. And be sure to follow Vulnerable on Instagram and TikTok @TheVulnerablePodcast. And make sure to tune in to my YouTube to watch the video version.